How's everyone doing this morning? Good. So I was getting ready to preach this morning. So over the years, I've collected, you know, a few pairs of shoes, and I've been told I have more shoes than my wife. So, you know, there are prayers that you pray and you wait for them. There are prayers that you never prayed and just got answered. So my son and I share the same shoe size now. So I've just doubled my selection pool just overnight. So the first one out of the house gets the best pick. So here I am with these shoes. So I have my shoes, he has his, and then we have like communal pairs. And this is one of them. Yeah. So the other day we were at the shoe store, and Tunija was telling me, Micah needs shoes. And I'm thinking, yeah, sure, let's buy him some shoes. Because this is sort of like reverse inheritance. He is 16, his feet are getting bigger. There's only one direction those shoes are coming. They're coming to me. So there you go. So today we're continuing and ending our DNA series, our core values. Pastor Mark started us off in early September. he helped us understand as leaders, we need to be empowered and how we can be empowered as leaders. And then Pastor Michael preached on encountering God, followed by Pastor Dom, who talked to us about equipping the saints. And last week, Pastor Kevin shared with us the topic of engaging with people, which is closely related to our topic today. We're going to talk about extending the kingdom. And depending on your Christian upbringing, this can be an exciting topic or a topic that you've heard of and kind of it's been repackaged for you and you're tired of hearing it. But today I'll charge to you that it is not that. It's fresh, it's real, it's in the heart of God, and it's part of our DNA. Yeah. So what is extending the kingdom? And extending the kingdom at a time like this, how do we go when we are told to stay or partially stay, not go too far, or, you know, there's all these restrictions. So how do we make this relevant to us today? So this is all about the Great Commission, which is part of our DNA. But fulfilling the Great Commission at a time like this can be challenging. How do we go? In many cases, you know, we have to limit our contact. And then, of course, you add on top of that the whole vax, no vax, type of vax, mask, no mask. You know, we deal with all of this, and then we're in a position where it's difficult to live out the scriptures. So what is God saying to us today that is relevant and meaningful to us? So let me start with the scripture, Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Matthew 28, verse 18 onwards. Jesus came to them and said, this to the disciples, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, as surely as I am with you always to the very ends of the age. So these two scriptures are the crux of extending the kingdom or the Great Commission. The Barna Institute, we've heard before, you know, they did a survey in the U.S. And asked church-going people, like ourselves, have you heard of the Great Commission? And half of U.S. churchgoers, 51%, say they did not know this term. Wow. So Barna Institute, of course, is a Christian research organization that produces shocking statistics, and, you know, you're thinking in your head, well, of course they got to come up with stuff like this, but, you know, you dig deep into this, and it is pretty disturbing. So 26% of boomers said they never heard this term, and about 10% of millennials 17% of Gen Xers. The only group that kind of heard about this is the elders, the older than the boomers. About 30% said, yeah, we've heard this term. So against the backdrop of all of this, you wonder the relevance of the Great Commission to the church today and how this is being impacted in our lives. So why is the Great Commission important to us? Is it a command? Does it apply to us today? Part of this may be the phrase, the Great Commission. It doesn't actually appear in the Bible, but the concept clearly does, as we examine the two scriptures that we looked at today. So Jesus urges his apostles to make disciples of all nations and baptize them. The word disciple means, in the original Greek language, pupil or follower, followers of Jesus. Our command is to make followers of Jesus. Yeah. Nothing else, just make followers of Jesus. So some scholars argue that the term the Great Commission was coined by a 17th century Lutheran nobleman named Baron Justinian von Welz. he preached on Matthew 28 and essentially charged the church to go ahead and make disciples of all nations. And this is a command that we are to follow as Christians. 2 centuries later, the English missionary Hudson Taylor is believed to have charged the church with the Great Commission, and he himself planted a mission in China in 1866 in the inland of China. He was quite vital and believed that the people of China need to turn to God, and his mission that he planted in the 1800s still bears fruit today in some sense. This was obviously long before the Communist Revolution. Today we see the fruit of some of his work. So according to Freedom House, a U.S. human rights group, today the church in China is more than 100 million people. 44 million by official count, the rest are underground in house or home churches. Of that, 60 to 80 million are deemed to be Protestant, another 12 million Catholic. So about 100 million people who make up the church in China today, which is actually larger than the Communist Party at 90 million. So we're standing at the precipice where the tide is going to turn. And the biggest news out of China hasn't come out yet. Let me tell you that. So the Great Commission produced fruit crossing several generations. Later on, we see the Great Commission motivated Protestant efforts to convert peoples in Africa, Asia, towards the 19th century, then again in Latin America. So the issue with this, of course, is there's always a tension with missional work. Sometimes there's been influences that are not pure, in that they were not just based on making disciples for Jesus. So a lot of the missional work, some of it has been motivated by economic or political interests. There's been colonial interests related to trade or resources. And converting people in a conquered state was a powerful way to extend political control. God is about free choice. He wants us to choose him freely. Romans 10:13 says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. In addition, without sharing the gospel, us sharing the gospel, people can't know and hear about Jesus. Romans 10:14 clearly says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? So the focus of the Great Commission is discipleship. It's making disciples, not merely seeking converts. So the focus of the Great Commission is making disciples, not seeking converts. 100 million Christians in China will be making disciples of about 1 billion people. It's about to happen. The greatest story from China is yet to be told. See, the people in China, I was there in 2007, not on a mission trip. It was a while back. And some of the large cities, if you're a city person, I'm a city person, I love big cities. And, you know, Shanghai is an amazing city. Even back then, you know, their subway system was way more advanced. They have like, you know, 20 lines or something. We have three in TTC. And New York City subway is like 9 lines maybe. It's a mega city. However, there is a sense of community among people. They are a capitalist society, you know, a lot more than we think it is. You know, they have a stock exchange. Their stock market value is probably about 3 times the size of ours. My point is that they have been taught everything except the freedom to choose God. The Communist Revolution was in 1952, and we're living about 60 years beyond that now. 3 to 4 generations, successive generations, that are not allowed to call in the name of Jesus officially, but driving a lot of churches underground. So the harvest field is ripe in China, and not just in China, in other places where there is persecution of the church. And I say this again, I really do think places like China are going to be voices for the next move of God. See, the biggest news from there is the underground church, and we don't hear about it. We hear other stuff posted on social media. This is the stuff we should be hearing. Other places where there's persecution right now is Afghanistan, Iran, various other parts of the world. But today, Christianity Today reports churches that are attacked or closed the most by country: China, 3,088, Nigeria, 270, Angola, 100, Democratic Republic of Congo, 100, Ethiopia, 100, Rwanda, 100, Bangladesh, 90, India, 76, Pakistan, 68, Mexico, 61. Our heart should be yearning for our brothers and sisters in these nations. We should be praying for them. I'd love to have a prayer meeting just to pray for the persecuted church all over the world, because that is really that is what we can do to impact the Great Commission, the call God has placed on our lives. So against the backdrop of all this information, how do we as followers of Christ be authentic, relevant in our time, yet be scripturally relevant? How do we live Acts 1:8, Matthew 28:18? Should we pretend the propagation of the gospel should be quarantined? Is God quarantined? No. How do we get through this pandemic and still live out the scripture? Here's the thing. Psalm 139 once says, "All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." God was aware of all these limitations that we're facing today. He knew about the limitations on travel, quarantine, all of that. He's everywhere working in the hearts of people. So what can we do? Go within your reach. Your community, we heard last week, your workplace, your school, yes, use Zoom and technology and all of that. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." So pray for people groups, your community, your friends. Pray for nations. Invite people to Alpha and Connect groups. Start your mission field in your sphere of influence. So how do we get back to the Great Commission, from omission to commission? How do we go back there? This is what Jesus said. If you break down Acts 1:8 and Matthew 28, you will receive power. Jesus had promised the Holy Spirit would come to them and empower them after he was gone. As Christians, we are saved and the Holy Spirit resides in us. We have the power of God living in us to be witnesses. The Holy Spirit is leading, guiding, and directing us to take the gospel. You will be my witnesses. See, the disciples were direct witnesses of Jesus' life, but we are witnesses based on our experience with God, the encounter we had with Jesus. That is our personal testimony. That will always be a witness. Second, the Word of God is there to support us, guide us, and that's part of our witness as well. We are, again, charged with making disciples, not seeking converts. Where is our Jerusalem? Our Jerusalem is our immediate area that we live in. the places we work, the schools we attend, any area of immediate impact that you have influence over, that's where God wants us to go first. Judea would be other parts of Canada, for example, other parts of this nation that we can reach. And how do we go there? We can partner with churches. We can help plant churches. Again, the focus is not to get converts, but to make disciples. We have live stream, and it's a great option for people who can't make it in person. But at the heart of God, He wants us to gather together in person, in churches, because we need to come together and be transparent with our lives as we build people up to be disciples of Jesus. We can't hide behind a device be anonymous and build disciples. Building disciples requires us to share our lives, to invest in people, and allow them to invest in us. It's a time where we have to deposit part of our life that God has given us and deposit into people and share our lives. Samaria. Where is Samaria? The adjacent territory next to that, but it's also the most hated, despised area. The Jewish people did not like Samaria, Samaritans at that time, and really this is a call where Jesus is saying, purposely he's telling them to go there. So where is our Samaria? What can you do to get there? How can you meaningfully engage with people of your Samaria, of the place where you typically will not go? Ends of the earth, of course, is the whole world. So it's not easy for us to jump on a plane, buy a plane ticket, and go somewhere currently in this time. But we are in a unique place. We're blessed to be in the greater Toronto area, where we live in a multi-ethnic, multi-racial society where the nations are at our doorstep. And what's important to us in sharing the gospel? Are we insistent on seeing results? Do number of people saved matter? John 6:44 says, "No one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." So it's up to God to do the drawing. It's not for us to draw people. Our job is to share the gospel in a meaningful way by sharing our lives. The Great Commission won't make sense or be authentic if we decide to go just because we're told to go. Matthew 22, verse 37 says, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." So the greatest commandment precedes the Great Commission. We can't make disciples because it's our duty. We make disciples because we love God. So what is God saying to us today? How do we summarize all of this? All of us can't plant a church or get on a flight and go to another country, but we can be witnesses in our communities, in our workplaces, our schools. We can express the Great Commission in the places where God has called us to be a part of, whether it's our local church or wherever we need to start. God is asking each of us today what he asked Moses: what's in your hand? Use what you have now and start where you can today. And God will tell you where you need to go next, what your next step is. The seeds we plant now, just like Hudson Taylor's work in China in the 1800s, that is still bearing fruit today. The seeds we plant now will bear fruit over multiple generations. We are called to make disciples. It involves living out the whole Christian life before others. Jesus is the ultimate example here. 1 Peter 2:21 says, he left you an example that you should follow. Matthew 4:19 says, "Come follow me," Jesus said. "I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. So we are called to fish for people. We are called to be disciple makers. Go out and make disciples. That's what God has called us to do. This is our DNA. As we live out our core values, God is calling us in this time, today, to go out and make disciples of all nations that are before us. And Romans 10:14 says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." So today, take your beautiful feet, put on your favorite shoes, stay where you are, but go. Thank you.